Christ is God's beloved Son and our beloved Savior. God expects fruit from those that enjoy privileges. Good purposes and good beginnings are good things, but not enough. There must be vineyard fruit thoughts and affections, words, and actions agreeable to the Spirit. Where grace does not work, corruption will. But the wickedness of those that profess religion and enjoy the means of grace must be upon the sinners themselves. They shall no longer be a peculiar people. When errors and vice go without check or control, the vineyard is unpruned, and then it will soon be grown over with thorns. This is often shown in the departure of God's Spirit from those who have long striven against Him, and the removal of His gospel from places which have long been a reproach to it. It is sad with the soul when, instead of the grapes of humility and meekness, love, patience, and contempt of the world for which God looks, there are the wild grapes of pride and passion, discontent and malice, and the contempt of God. Instead of the grapes of praying and praising, the wild grapes of cursing and swearing. Let us bring forth fruit with patience, that in the end we may obtain everlasting life. Matthew Henry of Isaiah 5. From Isaiah 5, verses 8 and 9. Woe to those who add house to house, who join field to field till no space is left, and you live alone in the land. The Lord Almighty has declared in my hearing, surely great houses will become the fine mansions left without occupants. This is covetousness. Verse 11, woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may run after strong drink, who stay up late at night till they are inflamed with wine. They have lyre and harp and tambourine, flute and wine at their feasts, but they do not regard the deeds of the Lord, no respect for the work of His hands. This is drunkenness, trying to forget. Verses 18 to 23, woe to those who draw sin along with cords of deceit and wickedness as with cart ropes, who say, let God hurry, let Him hasten His work so we may see it. Let it approach, let the plan of the Holy One of Israel come so we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, and who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and champions at mixing drinks, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deny justice to the innocent. This is carelessness, deception, pride, and injustice. Isaiah points to the deeds of men and the condition of their heart that sickens them. Today, as it was yesterday, there is covetousness, a strong desire for possessions or wealth, particularly that which belongs to others. It is the opposite of contentment and generosity. Here, by defrauding the poor, to take something from another by fraud means to swindle, deprive of some right, interest, or property. It is to cheat another out of what is theirs. There's drunkenness and the folly of it, the guilt by it, the illness that results of it, and finally death from it. God warned about the folly of the spirits that will give you cause to walk around in a stupor. And carelessness, a lack of attention, concern, or diligence in spiritual, moral, or practical matters. There are those bound yet by sin, but claiming the name of the Lord is their own. It is not that they cannot change. It is that they don't really want to be changed. There's deception. Moral standards are destroyed. The act of misleading or causing someone to believe something that is not true. These being born into this today are tomorrow's persecutors. They learn double talk coming from both sides of their mouth and neither side speaking the truth, only parts of it, as they lift their guilt and put it on another. There's pride. Mankind consulted in one another rather than God. Pride is an attitude, a condition of the heart that strikes all people, and it is the downfall of all who live under its authority. And finally, injustice. Judges who refuse to enforce the laws and use their authority for their own bought and paid for agendas. It is corruption at every level, and by this the absence of fairness and righteousness in human interactions and societal structures. This brings about division, separation, and chaos. An environment that neither a culture nor a society can thrive in, let alone hope to survive. Matthew Henry again. Let not any expect to live easily who live wickedly. Sin weakens the strength, the root of the people. It defaces the beauty, the blossoms of a people. When God's word is despised and his law cast away, what can men expect but that God should utterly abandon them? When God comes forth in wrath, the hills tremble. Fear seizes even great men. And when God designs the ruin of a provoking people, he can find instruments to be employed in it, as he sent for the Chaldeans and afterwards the Romans to destroy the Jews. Those who would not hear the voice of God speaking by his prophets shall hear the voice of their enemies roaring against them. Let the distressed look which way they will. All appears dismal. If God frowns upon us, how can any creature smile? Let us diligently seek the well-grounded assurance that when all earthly helps and comforts shall fail, God himself will be the strength of our hearts and our portion forever. If the church will not repent and turn to God, should he relent by letting up his heavy hand? Shall he call back the armies that he sends to humble her? He did not for Israel, his beloved. Yes, the children of God, those born of the Spirit, they will see Jesus return and be taken up with him in the rapture. And those left behind, those sitting on the fence or having believed in some of the lies being told today in the pulpit, they will face days such as not even Israel did when she turned her back on the Lord God and he raised up the armies of Assyria and Rome to humble her. These conditions of the heart that brought such grief to God are what we are seeing today in people all around us, both inside and outside of the church. If you trust in God, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and you will not fall for every lie that comes your way. Rather, you will seek times of refining and thereby grow, and you will appreciate the times of discipline, for every parent that truly loves their child disciplines them. And you will not speak any more as the serpent did with a forked tongue, telling different people different things all about the same thing and not meaning anything by what you're saying. Confusing? Yeah. It's debilitating trying to sort it out and to keep up with it all or to know what is true and what's false. Those who practice the dark art of deception, they do so by design. Pride will be the downfall of mankind, believing that we know better than God, that we can improve on what the Creator of heaven and earth has created and provided for us to thrive in the place where he has put us. With such attitude, how do we even learn to be content with what he has given us to live by, his word? And finally, the injustice that comes from all of these attitudes and conditions of the heart. There is not one who will benefit from the injustice that is being served up today by labeling people as victims and oppressors. It simply becomes a cycle of life as new groups of victims rise up who are angrier and more violent than those that came before them. It is the word of the Lord that will judge, and the hand of the Lord will carry out his justice. Only what the Lord says will have stood the test of time. So the only truth that you can believe today is Jesus. The only truth that will save you today is Jesus, and the only true hope that you can have today is in Jesus. If when God's love for Israel was so great when she was young, and if she yet strayed from him and prostituted herself to the nations, and destruction came upon her for her actions, then what can be said of us and of the days to come by our silence, as the sexual revolution claimed more and more lives, and we were silent? We of the church are called by the Lord his bride, and look at how we, his bride, have sullied ourselves and allowed ourselves to become divided and conquered by the sexual revolutionaries. We have invited the troubles that are upon us with open arms. We did not stand when we should. We did not speak when given opportunity. We did not teach our children or come together to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. We are responsible for this mess that we wake up to every morning and that keeps us up at night wondering, yet not willing to repent and turn from our own wicked ways. There is one thing good yet in this world, and his name is Jesus Christ. And by his Holy Spirit, you can have everything that you need to live a fruitful life with no need to covet, no need to dull your pain with drugs or alcohol, no need to deceive anyone or to be careless, no need to let pride ruin your life, but to be content and be thankful. Just come, and you will learn to seek justice as you begin to see the world through the eyes of God. You see, the Lord showed mercy to Israel, for even in all of her troubles, he kept for himself a remnant. By what you truly believe and the Lord sees in your heart, not in your hand, it will be revealed if you are today a part of that remnant also. His word says, by their fruit you will recognize them. And so surrender not to an enemy, but to the only one by which we must be saved, that we can be saved by. And his name is Jesus Christ, and he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.